Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness with purity of purpose. We realize that many may be offended by the encouragement to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church, but it is our hope that many will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We bring this to you, for we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to stress the importance of avoiding the extreme deception of this present world's social system. The Bible encourages us in 2 Peter 1:10 to make our calling and election sure. This means that we Christians should endeavor on a daily basis to strengthen our faith so that Satan is unable to draw our attention away from God and to the worldly delights and temptations of flesh. When people cannot see danger, they cannot flee from it. In our week-to-week radio programs, we hope to show people that many of the things which were prophesied to come to pass in the last days are actually here now, at this present time, and are not just events of the future. Our hope is that Christians would no longer be deceived by the image of the beast, which is current in the world today, nor in the seemingly miraculous inventions of science and technology brought about by the harnessing of electricity, which is that fire from the heavens of Revelation 13:13. In addition, we hope to give warning concerning the mark of the beast, which is a spiritual mark, just as the mark or name in the foreheads of God's people are spiritual marks and not physical marks. It's somewhat difficult to understand, but Christians need to realize that Satan has, by great deception, convinced Christians that the mark, number, or name of the beast is physical. Probably the greatest barrier to recognizing this concept is that when Revelation 13:16 and 17 talks about receiving the mark, they read these two verses as if it is saying that Satan will give people a mark in order to buy and sell. But notice something interesting. Verses 16 and 17 actually talk about causing two things to happen. The first thing Satan attempts to cause is that every type of person on earth would receive the mark, number, or name of the beast. Second, as we see in verse 17, he also is attempting to set up a financial and scientific world system which is so earthly oriented that participation would only eventually be by those who follow after evil. At least that is his intent, and he has made major progress toward this and would accomplish his goal eventually if God did not stand up and shorten the time in order to save the elect people of God. Verse 17 is not saying that people will have to receive a mark in order to buy and sell, but that Satan is trying to create a world system that caters only to the flesh and not at all to the spiritual man. In other words, Satan is attempting to make this world so carnally oriented that the truth of God can hardly be obtained. The buying and selling is not referring to whether or not commodities are available, but to things carnal as opposed to things spiritual. If we look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6, we see that the third horse, the black horse, is describing famine conditions. We should recognize that this famine is not a famine of physical food, but for spiritual food. This is also referred to in Amos 8:11 as a famine, not for bread, but for the word of God. What Satan has established in these end times is a world system which encourages people to seek after carnal things, but not spiritual things. In the financial and social world system of today, there is plenty of carnality for sale. But things spiritual are hard to come by. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that in our present world, the buying and selling is not focused on the things of God. Now, looking again at Revelation 13:17, we see that the first word in that verse is the word "and." In the NIV, the word is "so," but the word "so" is not a direct translation of the actual Greek word, but a translation based upon the interpretation by the men who were doing the translating. What I mean by this is that the NIV, the New International Version Bible, is a poor study Bible for any serious Bible student because the translation is by concept rather than by word. Therefore, the translators of the NIV paraphrased the language of this Bible after first determining what it meant. They even call the NIV a dynamic equivalent rather than a direct translation. The word "dynamic" means that the wording flows more freely than a direct translation, and the word "equivalent" means that the general translation is equivalent to the original meaning. So, if you are a Bible student and you want to just understand Scripture from someone else's understanding of its meaning, then use the NIV. But if you want to look at the actual word-for-word translation and then come to your own conclusion, I would suggest you use the King James Version. Even then, you will want to use some kind of Aramaic and Greek lexicon to verify certain words and verses. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is a good place to start. At any rate, the first word in Revelation 13:17 is "and." But even if you use the word "so," as in the NIV, still the original Greek word is "kei," which means to have a coupling or cumulative effect. This means to add to. It means that additionally, besides the description in verse 16 of affecting every type of person on the earth and causing them to receive the mark of Satan's ownership, verse 17 is stating that the second beast is also attempting to make a financial and social market where the only goods traded are those lusts of this world. In essence, if there is nothing left in the earth of God's truth and righteousness, then those who are buying and selling are Satan's people, and therefore will have the mark which designates their allegiance to Satan. They have the mark not because they needed to buy commodities, but they have the mark because they are buying the carnal things of this world rather than the spiritual things of God. Christians should beware that you take the mark not so that you can participate in buying and selling, but you take the mark because you are actively trading in Satan's market instead of in the things of God. As I said before, the actual mark, name or number, is a mark, name or number of the beast. Now, let's say the same thing again, but this time use the word "animal" instead of the word "beast." The actual mark, name, or number is a mark, name, or number of the animal. Doesn't seem the same, does it? However, the actual word for beast used in Revelation 13 is therion, which means an animal. If you remember other passages I've given, you'll remember that Satan is often referred to in Scripture as an animal, such as serpent, crooked serpent, Leviathan, the serpent in the bottom of the sea, and dragon. Also, remember that Revelation 12:4 says that Satan used his tail to draw a third of the angels away from God. In other words, this means that Satan acted within the nature of an animal when he tempted and deceived those angels. We know that Satan is also an angel, a fallen one. We also know that angels are not described as having tails, but God applied the concept of an animal to Satan's actions because Satan was acting as an animal acts when he rejected the authority of God. Satan is not using reason, and this is what marked him as operating as an animal, because animals cannot use reason. Animals act instinctively, but they cannot comprehend things spiritual. Therefore, When the Bible describes the first beast of Revelation 13, it uses the term beast, which describes the nature of Satan. The first beast is actually Satan, but more specifically refers to his nature rather than to the actual person of Satan. It is very similar in regards to the second beast of Revelation 13, which is actually referring to man, but again, this is also more specifically referring to man's nature than to actual man himself. The two beasts of Revelation 13 are actually two beast natures, or actually two animal natures. The initial beast nature is the beast nature of Satan, which rose up out of the sea. Out of the sea means that it was the sea of lies, the doctrine of Satan, which gave rise to his beast nature, which shuns reason and therefore is full of lies. The second beast is man's beast nature, which rose up out of the earth and mimics the beast nature of Satan. Out of the earth means that man's beast nature, his animal nature that does not use reason, rose up in the earth. For almost 6,000 years, the beast nature was contained. God would only let Satan go so far. The Bible refers to this concept symbolically when it says that God has given the sea a boundary that it could not pass. However, in these last days, the boundary of Satan's sea of lies, his sea of destruction, have been removed. God has removed the hindrance to Satan's waters of perdition, and the beast nature has passed the boundary previously set and has encroached onto the high ground. The solid rock of Christianity is at risk, for if the time were not shortened, then eventually there would be no sure footing for Christians left in this world. The souls of men are at stake as never before. It's the beast nature that has infected Christianity. Both the first beast and the second beast are animal natures. The beast nature is not based on truth nor on reason, but on animal instinct. It is based on forces, the might and power of man's animal nature, rather than on the Word of God. Just as Satan had tempted the angels and drew away a third of them using his tail, his animal nature, he was able to also use his tail, this same animal nature, to draw mankind away from the truth of God. The animal nature was established in mankind when Satan convinced man to shun reason and follow after lies. When we look at the second beast of Revelation 13, what we are really looking at is the animal nature of man. Man's nature is continually evil because it shuns reason. Therefore, instead of following after the spiritual things of God, man's animal nature drives humans to seek the carnal things of this world. We read in Colossians 3:2 that we should set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When man acts in accordance with the spiritual nature of God, his affection is focused on heavenly things. But when man acts in accordance to his beast nature, he sets his affection on things that stimulate his flesh. The warfare between good and evil is a spiritual warfare between flesh and spirit. The Bible continually encourages God's people to shun the things of this world and to seek after the things of God. But because the animal nature has risen up in the earth, man's tendency is to set his affection on earthly things. In Revelation 13, 16 and 17, we see that the second beast, the animal nature of man, causes every kind of person on the earth, whether they are rich, poor, great, or small, to have such a desire for the carnal things of this world that they receive the mark, number, or name which designates them as being carnal and not spiritual. And because they are carnal, instead of being born again in spirit, they are designated as being owned by Satan. The reason I say that this is a designation of ownership by Satan is because Satan is the originator of the beast nature. And when man seeks after the things of this world in order to stimulate his beast nature, then he is also rejecting the spiritual things of God in exchange for the earthly things of Satan. When he does this, His God is no longer the God of heaven, but his God is the God of this world, the God of flesh. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. The power of the air refers to the environment of carnal man. Satan reigns in the social environment of carnal man because of the flesh and blood nature. Therefore, anytime man seeks after the things of this world rather than setting his affection on things above, Satan is being worshipped. You don't have to bow down to an idol in order to worship Satan. All you have to do is seek after his temptations, and this glorifies him. God is glorified when you seek after things above, rather than setting your affection on things of this world. To worship God is to turn away from the ways of this world and seek heavenly things. Yes, you can glorify God with your lips, but you can also glorify God with your actions. In the same sense, it is certain that you can glorify Satan with your lips, but when you seek after the things of this world, you are glorifying Satan with your actions. This is the equivalent of bowing down to him. So many people, even many Christians, worship Satan by their actions. Very few people of earth worship Satan consciously with their lips, but most people give Satan glory by their actions, just by going after everything that he stands for rather than what God stands for. When you realize that the second beast of Revelation 13 is actually man's animal nature that has surpassed its previous boundaries, then the verse takes on a new meaning. Man's animal nature encourages man to enter into trade for the things of this world. And like the verse tells us, man's animal nature is responsible for setting up the current environmental and social world system that caters to the flesh. The animal nature of mankind, is responsible for creating a world system which feeds the flesh and kills the spiritual man like never before. In this manner, many people have their spiritual nature slain. They are like little lambs led to the slaughter. In essence, when you and I allow our flesh to reign supreme, we are, by our animal nature, destroying spiritual man. We human beings and our animal nature have created a world system where the Word of God cannot be bought and sold to any great extent, and certainly not the deep things of God. But anyone seeking the carnal things of this world can buy and sell to their heart's content. The animal nature of man has brought this to pass on the earth, and Christians are largely involved in the process without realizing it. This means that as they cater to the flesh, they give glory to Satan. They are actually worshiping the devil without realizing it. This is why we see that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 states that Satan is sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man of sin, this son of perdition, this mystery of iniquity, which is the epitome of the beast nature, abides even in the body of Christ, the church, as if he were indeed God. God refers to this also in Ezekiel 28, saying that Satan sits in the seat of God. Of course, you know that Jesus made it plain that we are the temple and that God should abide in us. But because man's animal nature is so strong, and because man, including much of Christianity, goes so strongly after the things of this world, Satan is glorified beyond measure. This glorification of Satan by the people of earth who seek after carnal things places him on the throne of glory. But the reason Satan is also considered to be sitting in the temple is because Christians are also glorifying him. Therefore, he is also able to receive the glorification from Christians. In essence, Christians are allowing Satan, through the beast nature, to reign over them. We Christians have been called to come out from among the people of earth and be separate. This means to be separated unto God, which is what holiness really is. Holiness is being separated apart from the purposes of this world so that we can be used as vessels for the Lord. We are not holy when we are used to glorify God and also to glorify the things of this world, which glorify Satan. We are only holy when we have become set apart for God's purpose alone. When we are truly set apart for God's purpose and refuse to be partakers of fleshly things, then this places God on the throne of our hearts, which is the temple of God. Is it any wonder that God's word continually encourages us to shun the things of this world and to set our affection on things above? By not setting your affection on things above, but instead setting your affection on things of this world, you are giving glory to Satan, for you are choosing those things which he reigns over, rather than choosing those things which are heavenly. It's time for Christians to realize that Satan has deceived the world and much of Christianity as well, and that his intent is to take God's place on the throne of glory. It's time for Christians to stop giving glory to the God of this world, to stop giving glory to the prince who is the power over things of the air. It is time for Christians to separate themselves apart from earthly delights and to begin to give glory only to God, thereby placing God back on the throne of glory where he belongs.
We hope you are enjoying today's message, Who Sits on the Throne of Your Heart? If you would like a copy of today's program, listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donations. We believe that God will supply our need as he sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 describes Satan as the mystery of iniquity, because it is largely a mystery to the people of earth and even a mystery to Christians. So few Christians realize what is taking place. So few Christians realize the extent of Satan's reign. Christians easily comprehend that Satan reigns in the lives of wicked people, but Christians do not comprehend that to a great extent, they themselves are also the subjects of that wicked one. Christians do not realize how great a mystery it is. It is a mystery because the knowledge of what is truly taking place is not recognized by most people. Are you one of these people? Are you a Christian who lives according to his animal nature? Are you one of these people who continues to try to glorify God with your lips, but your heart is far from him? Are you one of these people who finds great satisfaction in what delights you can taste, in what sights you can see, in how great others can perceive your looks or ability? Do you find your greatest joy in the toys of science and technology, or in true worshiping of God? The definition of the word lust means an unbridled desire. This means that if you do not try to bridle your desires for the things of this world, but continue to seek after them more than you seek after the things of God, then your God is Satan, and you have placed him on the throne of your temple. In fact, you may not even realize that he reigns in you. But look at your life. What do you spend your time doing? Is the television your relaxation? Are movies your enjoyment? Do you drool at the thought of obtaining something new to play with? Are you beside yourself until you can finally get something? How much do you glorify Satan without even realizing it? In fact, the question we Christians need to ask ourselves is the church truly worshiping God in spirit the way God wants us to worship him, or have we developed our own religious system whereby we worship God in the way we want to? We can look at ourselves if we are willing to look, and determine what things are important to us. If God is important enough for us to go to church on Sunday, but not important enough to worship Him continually every day, then maybe we are not putting Him on the throne of our hearts after all. Maybe our animal nature is causing us to be designated with the mark, name, or number of man's animal human nature. Maybe our number is 666 without even realizing it. Maybe our name is human man rather than spiritual man. Maybe our mark is one which designates us as a brute beast without reason, rather than a born-again spirit man who contemplates heavenly things. It's time for Christians to find out who is truly sitting on the throne of our hearts, so that we can make certain that the God who sits there is truly the God of heaven and not the God of this world. It's time now for Christians to do this, for very soon there may not be time to do it at all.
You have been listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface. We hope you've enjoyed today's message, and thank you for being with us. If you would like a copy of today's message, please contact us and ask for message number 39, Who Sits on the Throne of Your Heart? We have available a list of our messages with a short explanation, CDs, and written transcripts. We have available a study on Revelation 13 entitled Image of the Beast and a study on Revelation's short synopsis that John wrote in chapters 12 through 14. Our email address is preparationministries@gmail.com. The email address again is preparationministries@gmail.com. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We now have a web page so you can listen and download anytime you would like. It is preparationministries.net. The web page address again is preparationministries.net. For more information, comments, and questions, please contact us. We would like to hear from you. If you would like to speak to Brother Smith, please call him at 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.